Hi, I'm Heather.
And I'm Brittany.
We are the okayest moms, but we're also creatives, businesswomen, and best friends.
This podcast was created as a community for the modern mom.
We know you're doing your best despite the conflicting messages that you aren't doing it as well as someone else.
We believe in self-care, mom friends as our sanity, and that motherhood looks different for everyone.
Most of all, we believe that you are more than just mom.
So join us as we talk about a range of topics from motherhood to frivolous reality TV and everything in between.
Welcome to the Okayest Moms Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Okayest Moms Podcast. Hey, Heather.
Hey there.
I'm really excited for today's episode. First of all, it's another summer series episode. If you don't know what that is, last summer, Heather and I hosted a webinar series that consisted of 30 experts over 6 weeks, where we interviewed and talked about 30 different motherhood topics. And this is one of them.
We spoke with Olivia, who runs Howell Media House, which is a media management company. She's mom to two boys, and she's also a work-at-home mom. And she had so much great wisdom and knowledge to share with us during her interview over the summer. But we reached back out to her recently in light of the COVID-19 pandemic, because there are so many of you working from home now. And we kind of wanted to get her perspective on if anything has shifted or how things are different right now, because she's been working at home for a long time. So this is what she said. We're living in unprecedented times, and suddenly the world, celebrities included, have found themselves working from home with kids. We're balancing not only the kids being home indefinitely, but they're nervous, confused, and our job as parents is to keep things as, quote, normal as possible while helping them adjust. On top of that, there are still bills to pay, so we have to continue working. And as parents and humans, we're also nervous and scared and confused. I don't know about you, but I felt all those things all the time. How does one balance this all? Here are a few tips I've come across in the past week for working from home with kids during this time.
So number one, put the kids first. Yep. Sorry, bosses of the world. As soon as this all happened, I emailed my clients and let them know I would be working from home with my kids here as schools are closed and my daytime working hours would be limited, aka I will still be working for you, client, but only at night and phone calls are limited.
Number two, create a loose schedule for the kids and include your working time in that plan. My kids know that from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., mommy's working and it's their, quote, free time to do whatever they want. I'm always here at the kitchen table and, let's be honest, jumping up to attend to them every 6 seconds, but they know I should be working then.
I love that one. Three, I'm really honest with my kids and let them know I have to work to make money to pay for food, housing, heat, toys, etc. I tell them that their job is to play with each other, learn on their iPad, play outside, etc. And my job is to make money to live. Ha, no, really.
She touches on this in the interview as well. And I love her honesty about this because I think it really adds a level for kids of, like, it's a tangible way to appreciate what they have and to kind of relate to what we're not just ignoring them just for the sake of ignoring them. There's a reason we're doing it.
Totally.
And number four, her last tip, again, put the kids first. In terms of time, they need to have your attention first thing in the day. Put your phone away and focus on them for the first few hours of the day. Yes, hours. Have breakfast and then sit with them to do their schoolwork, play together, enjoy their company for 2 hours or so, and really, really focus on them. Give them full attention and then give them a break for you. And you can have some time to work. Repeat in the afternoon for a shorter period of time. Take a lunch break together and focus 100% on them for an hour. And then give them a break from you and work. Repeat as necessary. Which I think is a great formula. It's a lot of, like, hey, your turn. Okay, my turn. Now my turn again. Your turn. And so I think she really captures a lot of the things we're all feeling and dealing with right now.
Yeah, definitely. All right, let's dive into the episode.
First of all, thank you for having me. Thank you for everybody who I can't see you, but who are here. A little bit of background on me. So I started teaching at a private school out of college. So I was 22. I started teaching middle school. I taught up I taught for 7 years. I had my first son. I was blogging at the time too. I was kind of like an OG blogger back in the day, and had my first son. I did go back to school for a year. So I've done the work out of the house home thing too. And then after the first year of that, I was like, there's no way I can keep doing this without losing my mind. So I decided to transition and start a company, which is kind of crazy. And I told my husband at the time, well, my husband at the time, we were talking, and I said, look, I love social media. At the time, literally Instagram was just beginning. This was all on Facebook. I said, why don't I approach local stores and local, I want to share this live on Facebook while I'm talking to you. approach local stores. So I approached my local gluten-free market, and I was good friends with the owner. And I said, I'm going to share this on Facebook. Can I do your social media for you? So I ended up doing her Facebook. And at the time, literally nobody was on Instagram. So it was all Facebook marketing. And from there, it grew very locally. And then I started getting clients globally. This was even before I had a website, before I even knew how to, I had no idea how to run a business. I was with my son all day, working at the kitchen table at night. I remember, this is very work at home mommy, but for Christmas, I asked my husband for a tray, just a tray that I could keep all my work at home supplies on at the kitchen table. And then I could move it off the table and then put it back on the table just so I could have my little office. And so now I have my own home office, very messy home office. I have two sons, almost my little one's 3, my older one's almost 6. And I work from home. Howl Media House is my third child. And we do full service social media management for brands, companies, influencers, celebrities, authors, all sorts of that, shapes and sizes. And then recently in the last couple of years, we started doing influencer management as well. So, which is really fun, really exciting, and a new thing. But I think because I have worked outside of the home and inside of the home, I can definitely say working in the home is way harder. We were just discussing this. But I have some tips and tricks that I have definitely garnered over the years that will help. And it's interesting, in just the last, I would say, 6 years, I'm seeing such a shift of moms and women working from home. And I love it. And I will do anything I can to support a mom who wants to work from home. It is definitely not easy because you don't get a break ever. but it's great because you have the flexibility. So there's a lot of benefits, which I'll talk about. And then there's a lot of hard stuff, which I'll talk about too. But overall, I would say it's just a different beast. But it's possible if you really want it to happen.
I love that. Why don't you tell us, how do you, we'll just start by talking about your childcare situation. I mean, how do you, like you said, there's never a break, but how do you have kids at home while you're working?
That is a really good question. So that brings up kind of my first hack.
Okay.
Which is something that I call time sharing. Time sharing is something that I introduced on a podcast that I was on a couple months back. And when I talked about it, the host was like, I do this and I didn't realize it was a thing. Time sharing essentially is like a Venn diagram. You have your kids on one side, you have work on the other, and then you have the things that you can do while the work and the kids together. For example, I know that I can sit on the couch with my laptop and design Canva graphics with my kids watching TV. It's not going to harm anybody if I have to get up for a second or if I make a mistake. It's just getting some menial work done. Will I reply to a very important client email with my kids? No. That I will not do. So there are certain work that you know that you can do when you are, I'm just reading, yes, no, right, never. There's certain work that you know that you can do with your kids in the room. Oftentimes, my kind of workflow goes a little bit like, I get up with my kids. Now this is summer, so it's a little different. So I'll get up with my kids. I try to keep my kitchen table clean. Because I like to sit there. I can see the kids all over the house. They can play, watch TV. I will do some basic work, link finding, content research. I will not reply to emails at that time because it's just, I need my brain for that. I won't do phone calls, which I'll discuss in a little bit. But I'll do the graphic design. I'll do maybe some like calendar work, things like that. You know, and it's funny, you don't think that's work because you're just sitting there and your kids are there, but it is work. You have to get this stuff done. Now, I do have a sitter I didn't have a sitter for the first, I guess, like 2 years I was in business because it was just my one son. I would work at night. As the company grew, I did need a sitter. My parents are close by, but I don't want to rely on grandparents all the time. So I'm a big fan of hiring people when you need the help. So I have a sitter who came about, I would say, this summer has been like a little more because it's both kids home. But when my older son was in school, it would just be about 12 hours a week. So I would work when she's here, but it's not like a normal pace of work. You're working double time. So I would literally feel like I was like on some sort of drug after she left because I would be so amped up while the work I had done that you're like nonstop working, working, working. And then because you're a work at home mom, you have all the other stuff you have to do. So you pay the bills, you clean the house, you make dinner, you pick up the kids from school. I'm usually on my phone responding to emails, checking social media stuff. So you have to be very able to split your brain into a million pieces. This is not a healthy mentally thing to do. It's really not. But, you know, it's important to be able to multitask as most women can. Otherwise, there's no way you're going to be able to work from home with kids. So I do have a sitter. My little one is starting more of a preschool in the fall. So I'll have 3 mornings to myself for the first time, which is amazing. So I'm not going to have the sitter as much or at all. But again, it's about figuring out the work you can do. Also the work you can do at night. So like, I know that by nighttime, like when they're in sleep, and I usually do work from about 9 to 12, I can't be writing really like intensive pitches to people or doing this. It has to be like product reviews or graphic design or things that don't take up a lot of brain energy because I'm tired by that point. So a lot of it is figuring yourself out and what you can do with the kids there, what you can do from your phone, what you can do late at night, and then kind of fill in the in-between space with sitters, which I'll talk a little bit more later about sitters too.
I love that. Yeah, that's definitely something that I'm trying to figure out for myself of like, okay, what? Because I am guilty of trying to respond to an email and then like snapping at my kids because I'm like, I got a thing. And but you know, you get so excited and you want to respond. And so you don't, I need to be better about like compartmentalizing and doing certain things at certain times for sure.
Yeah, you know, there was the book Bringing Up Baby, the French book that we all read when we were pregnant. And she talks about the pause before picking a crying baby up. And I have started to do that with work. Just take a second and breathe. Because I'm also somebody that picks up my phone and feels like I have to respond right then. You don't. And one of the big things I tell all the work at home moms I talk to is I get a lot of guilty feelings from other. This just happened yesterday. Somebody contacted me and she said, I have to take a phone call and I don't know what to tell them because I only have the sitter between 10 and 1. And do I just give the people these hours that I can be on the phone? Like, I feel so bad. That's not enough time. And I said to her, and this is something my sister told me, nobody else knows what you're doing. So for as far as they know, you could be on phone calls all day long. They don't know that you're taking the kids to the dentist and then have the sitter come so you can work and then making dinner. For all they know, you could be on business stuff all day long. So you're more than welcome to give them just the 3 hours you're available with the sitters there. Because nobody else knows. It's like putting on a show. Nobody knows what the script is supposed to be. So you can, you know, tell people what you need to tell them, which is really important when you have to divide your time.
Yeah, I feel like it's hard to draw those lines because especially with what Brittany and I do, it's hard to not feel like we're a dime a dozen and that somebody else is doing exactly what we're doing, obviously in a different way with a different voice and all of that. But it's hard to not make yourself feel like you are available all the time and at their beck and call, especially when so much is done online because, you know, the internet doesn't sleep. So there's always somebody in a time zone awake somewhere that can be asking something of you. And so it's hard to not jump when you hear the ding or.
Oh, 100%. And I'm totally guilty of it myself. And I also think my kids have grown up with me doing this. And so they have gotten as much as they can have gotten used to like me saying once in a while, I just have to respond to this email really quickly, or this is really important. And I am pretty upfront with them about the fact that this is my job to make money to buy things. So, you know, like I'll say to them, like, I need to talk to this client for a second because I, you know, I have to make money. And this is what we spend the money on is food and clothes and things, because they need to know that like, this is what I'm doing. It's for a reason. I just want to talk about sitters for a second, because there's a lot of pushback in the work at home mom community about sitters. And I have a lot of people in my own life that have been like, why would you hire a sitter? You're home with the kids. Can't you work? Here's the thing. We all know it's really hard to focus on anything when there's kids around. And my little one especially, he'll literally claw at me to get my attention. Having a sitter is not something I did or brought into my business until I was making enough money to pay the sitter. Even if you're not making a ton of money, the sitter is an investment in you and your company. And there's nothing like peace of mind to know that you can go to your bedroom and work for an hour, or I go to the library sometimes and I'll work, you know, for an hour or two, because that's building your business. And if you have the money you're bringing in, or even if you take a little investment in yourself and you pay the sitter for a summer to get your business off the ground, more power to you. Because unless you've actually worked with kids at home, you do not get to say what working at home with kids is like. So, you know, I try, when the sitter's there, again, prioritize what you need to do. I will only take phone calls when my sitter is here. On the occasion that I have to take phone calls when the sitter is not here, there's a couple things that I do. So let's say the phone call is at 1 o'clock. You will basically have to trade off your entire morning of kind of working to focusing on the kids 100%. So I will make sure I'm down on the floor playing with them, having the meals with them, watching TV with them, reading with them, anything. And all that time, letting them know, I have a phone call at 1 o'clock. Mommy's going to have to go on the phone at 1 o'clock. At 1 o'clock, you're going to have to just watch this movie, maybe buy them a special movie from Amazon, get them a special snack. You know, I would not get them a new toy that they need your help playing with, because then they're going to need you. You know, so little things like that. And then when the phone call comes around, they're a little bit more prepped for it. They've spent the time with you in the morning. They feel like they're kind of bored with you at that point. You can take your half an hour, 20-minute phone call. I have been stupid enough that I have had days where I've had back-to-back phone calls. I really, really think that's a bad idea, because they get really fed up. By the time Brittany says, yep, that's exactly, yep, reminder bribery, over and over. You know, and I really, if I, like, there are days, like on winter break, where I have to take maybe 2 phone calls a day. You break them up, one at 11 o'clock in the morning, one at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And in the between time, you are with the kids 100%. And basically your only work you're going to get done that day are those 2 phone calls. So it's a trade-off, you know, and then you're going to probably have to work that night because you didn't really get any of the other work done during the day.
Right. Yeah. That's definitely the hardest part, is like the constantly turning it on and off of, like, you're just like swapping hats all day long. And it's hard to get back in the groove of one or the other, because if, you know, you're in the mode of like accomplishing things on your to-do list, but then you have to stop and get a snack or whatever it is, like it's a constant juggling act.
100%. And like, I will have so many days where, like, it happens all the time. I'll literally be posting an Instagram post for a client. I have to get up to change a diaper, and then I have to get up to, and by the time I come back, like, the post is gone, you know? And it's like, yeah. But again, you have to, like, the thing with working at home is you have to kind of you can't take yourself that seriously, because you have to be able to laugh at yourself, because it is going to be a total shit show. It just is. Oh, like, there's just no way around it.
I mean, a number of emails that I've sent with the wrong name, or like, oh, by the way, here's the attachment I said I was going to attach and didn't attach. And it's just like, it's constantly, like, I always know, I love knowing when I'm emailing another mom who's in the same position, because it's right. Like, oh, got it. No worries. Like,
okay. Well, this brings me to my other point, 100%. So one of my other big points is, as I grew my company, I realized I needed some help. I hired other moms and I love it. My one assistant, who's now become like an associate, she's another mom. I think she's listening, Marty. She's another a mom blogger mom. And we understand each other's times. You know, so if she says to me, I'm taking the kids swimming, I understand I cannot contact her during that time. Or if I say to her, I'm putting the kids to bed, she knows that maybe she should take another look at the social media posts because I can't be looking at them, whatever. You need to find other moms that you mesh with really well and hire them to work for you so that you can, like, for example, I have a couple days coming up at the end of the month that I'm going to have to take off some work. And they understand that and they're around to help me in a different way than maybe somebody that's not a mom would understand. But also your hours are very similar. So Emily, who does my beautiful newsletters, and she works with me on all, she's my email marketer. We'll often at 11 o'clock at night sit down to work together, you know, and be there to kind of support each other through those, that second shift at night. So I would say hire other moms when you can, because they'll really understand your business.
Totally. Yeah. Brittany and I can so relate to all that. I mean, who else is going to have, you know, a Google hangout with you at 8 o'clock on a Tuesday, except another mom, because that's the only time you can do it. And thank God for the internet, because nobody's leaving their house after bedtime.
No. And then the other things, just like our basic stuff, I rely heavily on online groceries, on online ordering stuff, Amazon, which got an Alexa, I'm very excited. You know, so I do all my groceries online. I don't have time to go to the grocery store, you know, and shop with two kids and then come home and put all the food away. And then it's, you know, my time is precious, because ultimately the goal is to spend as much time with the kids as possible. So, you know, work is always going to come second in that way, but you also, I love what I do. I want to make sure I have time for my work too. I love my clients. So, you know, you have to kind of prioritize everything. So some things are going to have to fall to other resources like groceries or Instacart or whatever you need to do.
Yeah, it's, you really do have to let go of a lot of things. I like to do all the things myself and handle everything, but you really have to outsource and pull in help as much as you can.
Yes, and then the other thing too, in terms of not doing everything, is, and I tell this to my social media clients, you don't need to be on every single social media platform that there is. You don't need every click funnel, this, that, blah, blah, blah. Like, you just do you. Especially if you're starting out as a small business or a small company and you're trying to grow, focus on you. I think I love Facebook groups. I love them to death, but they also can be detrimental for small businesses, because you're comparing constantly to other things, other work-at-home moms. And guess what? You don't know what's happening in other households. So whereas you could be struggling to do all the things and have a sitter 10 hours a week, somebody else could have a full-time nanny or parents that are there helping all the time. And so they can get more done, or a husband that works from home also or something. So it's very hard to not compare, but you definitely don't need to be on all the platforms all the time. You can pick and choose what works best for you, so you have time to focus on the important ones and grow quality platforms instead of scattered platforms all over the place.
Yeah, I think that's a great point about comparison, just in business and in life and
everything with Instagram.
Yes. Yeah.
And then I'm just trying to see what I had. Oh, okay. Here's my last big thing. When you, and this is like a sensitive subject for me, and I'm sure you'll understand, when you work from home, people don't think you're working. And it's taken me, I've had this company now 6 years, and I still get sensitive when people say that. I probably work more than a 40-hour work week in broken up time chunks. And we're so accustomed in America to this 9-to-5 or 8-to-6 lifestyle that people don't understand. You can also work different times, or I'm working with my phone or whatever. I will batch work. So I'll have 3 days that I'll work, you know, a ton, and then I'll take a day off to do something with the kids or whatever. But just because your home office is at home, or because you're with the kids, or because you're also taking care of the stuff at home, doesn't mean you're not working. And I think that a lot of women downplay what they do because they either feel guilty that they're working from home, or people don't understand that they're working from home. I've definitely run into a lot of issues, you know, when my son started kindergarten, because there was a lot of stay-at-home moms too. And I respect and love stay-at-home moms, but my time is different than their time. And, you know, so whereas like I would have a sitter come for my little one, you know, from 10 to 1, I couldn't necessarily go to the library class or, you know, go to brunch a lot of the times with other moms because I was working. And just because I'm not working at an office doesn't mean I'm not working. So I think that's just something really important. As I can see the culture is shifting because daycare costs are going up. It's really expensive to have a nanny. If the mom is home and can make money, that's amazing. But we also have to respect that she's also doing all the things all the time.
Yes.
Because when you are both the stay-at-home mom and the work-at-home mom, you don't get a chance to breathe ever.
Well, I think that also part, so I will still refer to myself as a stay-at-home mom, but that's mostly because I think in general, people don't understand what it is I do. Half the time, I mean, he got surprised, but my husband doesn't even understand. So I think I just, it's kind of, I think that plays a big part in it too, because I've been accused of not having a real job either. And I think as because we are still growing and starting that we're not necessarily bringing home the steady paycheck either. So I think that we're still very much in the investment, you know, building phase. So I think that's where the, a lot of the misunderstanding comes from. So I'll just default to stay-at-home mom because, like, I don't want to sit here in this Trader Joe's.
No, I totally get it. I totally get it. And I think anything with the digital world is like that right now. People don't really understand. Even when I say I do social media for people, they're like, what, you write, like, Instagram posts for people? And I'm like, yeah. It's like, sure. All the social media you see that, like, a brand is doing, somebody is behind that. Like, you have to have somebody behind it. But I totally get that. And it is very hard for people to comprehend. You know, and I definitely waffle between the two. And I'll tell people I work from home or I'm home with the kids and I work at the same time, which is great. Like I said, there's so many benefits. I love being able to have flexible hours. I love being able to take days off because I have batch worked beforehand. I love the flexibility of if my kid's sick, I don't have to worry about commuting in the morning. I can work. I mean, there have been so many nights that the kids have been sick and I've worked from their bedroom floor in the dark, you know, and listened to my podcasts and stuff. So the lifestyle has the potential to be great. It just, you have to be really made of steel to kind of do it. Otherwise, you won't be able to keep up because it's just a lot to then also manage the household and often the husband and all the other things. Kind of can drive you crazy if you don't take time for yourself, which I'm just starting to do.
But it's hard because I feel like because I am always switching between mom and business owner and back and forth, that to then throw in a lot of the times working feels like something I'm doing for myself, which it is. But to on top of that, be like, oh, and I want to get my nails done also. It's like, so I feel like I'm already losing my babysitting time for work. And then to like, well, also.
No, 100%. So I dealt with that a lot too. So all my babysitter time goes towards work. To me, if there's a babysitter here, I need to be making money to cover that babysitter. So there's no time I leave. Like, I'm not going to go get my hair colored, you know, when the babysitter's here. I just won't do it. Like, morally, to me, it just doesn't seem right because then I'm spending money. I'm not making money. You know, so if I need to do something like that, I will ask my parents, you know, once in a while to help with the kids or whatever. But it's really hard. I totally agree with what you're saying. I think I love working too. And so for me, getting time to listen to my music, and have a cup of coffee and do my work is my self-care, but it's not really self-care. Yeah. It's work. So I therapy has helped that. Going to therapy has definitely helped because I'm starting to realize what my soul needs also beyond work because I don't want to get burned out in my work either. I've started trying, when the babysitter is here, I've started forcing myself to work, to build in 15 minutes to go for a walk. Just 15 minutes, even if I just walk up and down the street and listen to music on my earbuds, you know, on my AirPods. And that took me a long time to just build that in because I feel so guilty that I'm not making money in those 15 minutes to pay for the sitter. But it's hard. You sacrifice the self-care aspect when you decide to work from home, for sure.
Yeah. And I feel like I'm constantly keeping this mental tally of like, okay, I asked this family member to babysit last time. Like, okay, I can't ask them again because I've already asked times. It's hard to make it all work.
It is. And the nice part is that I found if you are passionate about what you do and you do build a little bit of time into work, your business will grow. You know, it's just about, and like, again, investing in yourself and believing in yourself. And just because you work from home doesn't mean it's not a legit business, you know, no matter what you're doing. So it's very hard to, I also realized that I love working. I didn't realize that I would love working this much. You know, and I love what I do and I love all my networking and the people I meet. And so, you know, it's hard to find, you get frustrated sometimes when you are have to be the mom and you're doing all the mom things and driving around and you're busy and you're like, but I really want to be working because I love to work too. And, you know, it's hard to find that balance. And some days it's the complete opposite. I'd rather snuggle up with my kids all day and watch movies. And like, what I have been trying to do is, on the weekends now, I really try to disconnect. So I will schedule out all my social media posts for the weekend and basically won't touch my phone or try not to touch my phone for the weekend, because when it comes down to it, I really need the break and my kids really need the break. And it's nice not having to pick up my phone every 5 seconds and worry about responding to an email. The world can wait for 2 days a week. Yeah. So, you know, just, but it took me a long time to figure that out. A long time
to ever feel like, I'll find myself feeling angry with my kids because I feel like they're getting in the way. And I know, which then I, of course, feel guilty about immediately because they're not in the way. They're just, this is the arrangement. And yeah, they're just kids. And so have you ever encountered that? And how do you deal with it?
You know, I guess I definitely feel frustrated sometimes because I need to make money. And so this is my job, you know, and I guess I don't necessarily get frustrated with them. I think I get very frustrated with the system. So, you know, like I get very frustrated that we're in America and it's 2019 and yet I'm still working so hard to run this business and we haven't figured out child care as like a system yet. Because I feel like there are so many women. So, I mean, every woman who's a mom who's going to work is worried about child care. And, you know, I feel like in other countries, they have it a little bit better figured out. And it just makes me frustrated that like I'm put in this position to, you know, while I feel 100% hashtag blessed to be home and working, that this is what, like, not just for me, but for other women, like this is what we have to do. Like we have to do everything at one time because this is what America is right now. So I just feel frustrated. I think like overall, like this is what women are kind of, you know, especially with like I said, daycare costs are really high. And, you know, a lot of families can't afford to put three kids in daycare, but they also need to have an income coming from the mom. There was an article a few weeks back, I don't know if you saw it, about how basically she was a writer and she said she became a stay-at-home mom, but she still had to contribute financially. And so she would do freelance writing, which I started to do too when I first left teaching. And, you know, as a lot of these women we are required to contribute financially to keep the house going. And so it's just really interesting that like this is kind of a shift in America. And I think as women are kind of finding their voice a little bit more, I'm curious to see how the whole childcare situation changes too.
Yeah, well, and if you think about it, how many women-owned businesses never even get off the ground because they don't have childcare? Because I know for me, that was a big block of like, I don't have the time to do this because I can't, it was hard to justify childcare when we weren't making any money yet. I mean, I'm personally still not making enough money to cover childcare. So it's hard to put that investment into yourself. But I mean, it's 100% worth it. But if you think about it, like how many people just never even bother? How many great ideas are never going to be fulfilled because of it?
It kills me. No, it literally kills me. It's so frustrating. It's so frustrating. And you know, and there's also this huge double standard, right? Where it's like women stay home, they take care of everything. We are the default parent. You know, it drove me crazy. You know, that video of the dad on TV and the kids mm-hmm. came in. That drove me insane because if the situation had been switched and she was the one, people would have railed against her for not being able to control the kids while she was working at the same time. And there are so many times I'm on phone calls, my kids are screaming in the background. And I have to say, I'm so sorry, I'm home with my kids, you know, and I'll often have to make up an excuse, like they're homesick or whatever, just so that they don't know, they don't think it's like a reoccurring thing, you know, but it's going to be interesting to see what happens as women gain more power and gain more financial power. What happens to childcare? Because I think you're right. There are so many great businesses that haven't started because we just don't have time because we're being moms.
Well, and I think it definitely gives you a loss of credibility if you say, oh, my kids are here at home. I think that I could totally see why you would say, oh, they're homesick today, because right. it would change perceptions if you said, oh, they're just always here and I'm here working. And
yeah, people don't take you seriously. And I found that early on, if they think that you work from home and watch your kids at the same time, they will not take you seriously. And, you know, that's why having the sitter helps, at least for the phone calls. You know, and obviously it changes as your kids go to school too. Once they're all in school full time, you'll have a lot more time on your hands. But there are a lot of women that need to contribute financially with little babies at home, and they want to help, but it's very hard to figure out when and how to do that.
Yeah. Well, at least for me, I had always wanted to be a stay-at-home mom like you. I was a teacher and taught for a few years and then got pregnant, and then that was going to be it. And I was bored out of my mind. And I can't do this for the next 18 to 20 years. I can't do this. And so I was a little bit different coming to it, but yeah, I agree with all you're saying. You talked about that Venn diagram earlier and about how there's this area where things overlap and you can do things with the kids and with work. For me, like, that is where all the guilt breeds like bacteria. How do you deal with this guilt of it? Because because I enjoy it so much and I'm glad that I can do both, but also there are times when I feel like one is keeping me from the other, and I'm just always in this place of guilt.
Okay, good question. So this is kind of a personal answer, but I guess you could apply it to your own life. So I'm a big believer that kids need to have time by themselves to breathe, think, be bored, kind of come up with their own creative ideas. I do always make sure that when I'm working at home, so my home office is kind of like at the end of the house. I never work in my office when the kids are around. I'll either work on the couch with the kids, you know, on my laptop while they're building with blocks or playing or watching TV, or I'll work at the kitchen table. So I'm always making eye contact with them. I'm also, and this again goes to your brain doing a million things, I will respond to them immediately. They are my first priority. So, you know, if they need anything, if they're talking to me, that comes first. My eyes are shifts towards them. So as far as they're concerned, yes, I'm working, I'm on my computer, but it's, again, nothing that is time, like there's no time commitments in that work. There's nothing that's like on deadline. And really it's kind of like they're first, but the computer happens to be there. I'll also invite them to the kitchen table with me and say, I'm going to be working at the table. Would you like to come watch your iPad? Would you like to come draw pictures? Would you like to come play a game? And I'll, I just had a phone call and I will I'll be there with them. The other thing too is that I grew up with two parents that did kind of their own thing. So my dad was always reading a book. He'd be hanging out with us in the same playroom, play space, but he'd be reading a book. His face was in a book. And my mom's an artist, so she was always drawing or painting, again, in the same space as us, on the floor with her watercolors. But her mind was on her artwork. My dad was reading, but we were there. We knew we were safe. We knew that they were there if we needed anything. So I kind of took that approach with my kids. Like, I don't really play on the ground with them. That's why I had a second child. Like, you know, that's what the babysitter's for. I love that she plays with them. I made sure I hired a sitter that plays a lot with them. My kids are really into costumes, so I will do the imaginative play with them. We do a lot of imaginative play at the grandparents' house and things like that. But when I'm with them, it's really like hangout time. You know, we're drawing, we're reading, we do a lot of reading together. You know, things that I can do while my brain is kind of half also in the work. This is not to say I don't feel guilty at all. I definitely feel guilty. But I also realize that I have to make money. So it's either I'm with them 80% of my energy or I'm with them 0% because I'll have to go out and get a job. So, you know, that's outside of the house. And so I kind of explain that to them once in a while. And, you know, I'll say there are moms that go out and they work and then they come home. And, you know, I could do that or I could be here. And I've explained to them what I do and that I run my own business. And they kind of like the idea. You know, I think it almost makes them feel more secure that I am my own boss and I can decide what I want to do. So they understand in a little bit that a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old can. But whatever I do, I try to incorporate them into my space. And again, I don't take phone calls when the sitter is not here, you know, so that definitely helps. But again, it's hard. There are times I definitely get frustrated because I want to finish something or do something and they need me. But I mean, I also think about all the, throughout history, moms have been doing stuff, right? Like cooking, cleaning, on the phone with their friends, whatever. And so, you know, I try to squelch the guilt about that a little bit by remembering that all moms are stressed and busy.
That's a great point. I think a lot of it comes from, because I am so new to this, I have a hard time, like, I kind of like wince inside every time I say I'm a business owner or, you know, a work from home mom, because I think I'm still trying to acclimate to that role myself. So it's hard to bring my kids into that. But I love your point about including them and in what you're doing and explaining it. So I think that's great.
Yeah, and like, honestly, and this is something you could do too. Even my three-year-old knows that, like, there are products and brands that I work with around the house that I'll have to photograph or post about, and he'll hold it up and be like, are we photographing this tonight? You know, it's so, like, getting them involved so they know what you do, I think, is a big factor. Like, I showed my six-year-old how to use Photoshop and, like, you know, to type and things like that. So get them involved in your world, just like how you get involved in their world, so they know what you're doing and what your attention is on, so they don't think it's something that's like huge, dramatic, that's taking them away from their attention, but it's just like the little stuff that you're working on, and they'll know, like, oh, mommy's doing social media or whatever. And it's nice because then you can feel like they're involved in what you do too. And I think I totally hear what you're saying. And part of that is you need to, you know, own up to the fact that you're a business owner, which is amazing. But it's hard. I 100% agree. It's hard when you're coming off of being a mom full time to do that.
Yeah, I always hate when the answer with the kid thing is that I have to change my own behavior. Like, can it just be something they have to do?
No, it's never that easy. Yeah.
Does it ever affect your relationship with your husband, you working from home? Do you ever get the, like, well, you're home, can't you just wait for the repairman or whatever? Or,
I mean, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say it affects it. Right. I think it just is what it is. Like, I would say the biggest thing that is, like, so when my husband comes home and his hours are done, he is, you know, home, my hours bleed into everything else. You know, so, like, I think I've worked through family vacations, and by work, I mean, I'm on my phone posting, or I'll be monitoring social media or whatever. So I'm not like bringing my laptop and typing up like briefs or whatever, you know, but, you know, just my 100% energy was never devoted to family, because I did have to kind of always monitor social media. That's what I do for a living. So I think that played a little bit into it, but because I am home, I do manage everything at home, doctor's visits, package deliveries, I mean, everything. So, you know, that definitely gets you burnt out from everything when you're doing all the different hats. You know, I feel like that book, like Caps for Sale, and he wears like all the different hats. Like, you know, you do all the jobs, and, you know, I think you can get burnt out on that, which can definitely affect other aspects of your life. But, you know, in the long run, it's nice to have the flexibility and somebody is home, so you don't have to, I mean, I'm here. So,
yeah, that has been an adjustment for my husband. He's like, you're always on your phone. And I'm like, well, because there is always something to do. But I can be better about putting that away and taking time, but it's hard because it's always on.
It's hard. And for you, especially, it's hard. Like you said, like, there's a lot of people in your industry who do what you do. And so you want to respond quickly. You want to be on top of things. And I'm the same way. I want to respond very fast, be on top of things. I've started to kind of take a second to realize that not everybody needs me to respond that fast. The world will keep on going. But it took me a long time to get there.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm still very much in like the early stages of figuring out how to wear all these hats.
It's hard. Yeah.
Let's talk about screen time. Cause I know, so my kids are just about 5 and 3, and they're not the greatest at entertaining themselves at all. And maybe I'm just feeling this more cause it's summer right now. And I've had a kid in school full time, just a couple more days, we'll get there. But, I end up defaulting to screens a lot more than I want to. And I think that's probably a big source of my guilt, is that I feel like the only way I can get 20, 30 minutes to respond to an email or whatever is with a screen.
I'm pro screen. So we are a pro screen household. And my thing is with screens, my kids, I don't know if it's just my kids, but they are pretty good self-regulators. So I've never kind of regulated so much screen time guilt. I know this is going against pretty much everybody, but I have no screen time guilt. None. We're moving into a phase of culture that is going to be all about screens. So they are going to have to know how to use screens. Now, my kids also love drawing, writing, reading, playing costumes just as much as they love their screens. So for me, I'm not always so worried. You know, if they have, if they're on their screens for an hour here or there because I'm on a phone call or because we're taking some downtime or something, it is what it is. I also know that we're going to then, the activity is going to change. So I really try not to feel guilty about that. There are definitely, I feel like I felt more guilty when I was pregnant in my second one. And my older one was on screens more because I was feeling so sick. That to me, I felt more guilty about than if I have to work or whatever. But also I try to get them, so I'm big into games, they're only 6 and 3. So my son, like my older son loves these like Our Town games, which are like little towns and villages. You can play them. So we love those. And, you know, he loves those. And I love them because they're interactive. It's like Baby Sims, basically. And so, you know, I love that he's doing something kind of interactive. I also have a lot of educational games on there. But they also watch YouTube. I mean, come on. Like, they are normal kids. So, you know, but they also interact with each other. So I'll get them the same iPad game. So, like, and the other thing, and I've done this forever, like, I was the mom that like wanted my kid to learn how to watch TV so we could all take like a second to breathe. But there's never a moment in my house that like everybody's quiet. Like everybody's always talking to each other. I'm always responding to things. So if my son's playing a game, he's telling me all the things that are happening in the game. So I'm big into getting into their world, which is kind of a new thing in the screen time realm. I've seen a lot of articles about this. Get into their screen time with them. You know, sit next to them, see what they're playing, learn the characters, watch the videos, get them games that really interest them. My son loves fairy tales right now, so we have all these cool fairy tale read story things, you know, on his iPad. You know, then you'll feel a little bit less guilty when it's like you know what they're doing, you're interacting with them. And then if you have to take time, remember, moms throughout history have given them their kids things to distract them, whether it's like a corn husk doll or an iPad. It's distracting them. You know, like I think it's about us. You know, we have to start feeling, I mean, think of all the moms throughout history that have been on the phone with their friends nonstop all day and telling you to be quiet, go outside, I'm on the phone with my friend. You know, there's always going to be distraction just because it's a screen, but also our kids are going to have to know how to use screens. So, you know, there's no point in also taking it away completely. It's us that has to feel less guilty. So maybe if you feel guilty, put in the equal amount of time doing an art project with your kids and then, you know.
Yeah. I agree. I think screens have been villainized for sure. Mm-hmm. But I mean, also I think they're being villainized by the generation that had they had them would have used them to their full extent. I can tell you right now, if my mom had iPads, my kids have been glued to it. So
yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Brittany said she agrees with you 100%. And even though she knows and believes all this, she still has the guilt all the same. And I completely agree. I mean, I agree. I know this is where technology is going, and I mean,
how many husbands are on their phone as soon as they get home from work too?
Yeah.
I mean, they go to, you know, they're on the phone, we're on our phone. You know, I think it's funny to see parents who are on their phone reading things about screen time and telling their kids not to be on screen time, you know, and there's benefits. My son pretty much learned to read by himself by watching, you know, YouTube and screen time and Miss Booksy and all the different cool, you know, YouTube videos and stuff. He's like really into all these videos now that are like Harry Potter explainer videos. And they're teaching him like Latin and history and all sorts of stuff. So, you know, you're missing out on a lot when you take away screen time. Obviously there's limits to everything. You don't necessarily want your kid's eyes on the screen for hours and hours and hours, but we wouldn't want that for ourselves. You know,
I agree. I think, like you said, to use them as needed. My kids have two speeds. It's locked into a screen or wrestling like the alley cats. I mean, there's no in between. So it's
yep.
I want to remind everybody, we have a few minutes left. So if you have questions, go ahead and throw those in. We have one question here. What do you want for your business in 5 years? Just curious.
Good question. That's a good question. I am so excited to grow. I would love to grow to the point that I can hire some more people and train them in social media strategy and get to the point where I'm developing the strategies and then I have people posting and finding content. I do all the content research right now for the most part, and that's very time consuming. So having a good team under me to do that. I also love the influencer management. So growing that side of it will be amazing. I have some blogger friends who have been kind of helping me grow that side as I manage them, and I'm learning about the whole thing. So that's really exciting. But I would love to be making a lot more money and be able to hire people and feel just really secure over the next 5 years.
Yeah, I love that. Well, I can't wait to watch it all unfold.
Thank you. Thank you.
Balance is such a buzzword, especially amongst working moms, moms in general, but I feel like especially we live this every day. Is balance achievable?
No, not for women, not for moms. Absolutely not.
Yeah. No.
And I think it's not fair. And I think that we are in a generation that we are trying very hard to find our voice as women and achieve the balance, but we're working against a lot of things. And I think that there's a lot we have to do. I'm very passionate about raising my sons to be men that do equal everything, know how to manage their own life without a woman involved or a man involved or whoever, you know, because I think that we need to raise good humans, and that's kind of the crux of what the next generation is going to be about. But I think that moms are still the default parent. And as long as moms are the default parent, there's going to be zero balance. So, you know, I think that's just the way it is. And I think a lot of it is maybe biological, but then you have parents that are not biologically rated and that they're doing the same stuff too. So who knows? But I think that there's ways you can try. You know, I do think hiring help helps. You know, and that's one of the benefits of having money and making money is you can hire people to help you. Look at all the celebrities that have a ton of help. They have time to go out and do whatever they want and, you know, get their nails done or whatever, opposed to women and families that don't have the money to do that. So in that case, you know, again, there's just no balance. You're going to feel guilty no matter what you're doing. And something's always going to have to give when you're a mom. But you can find ways to make it less hard on yourself, I think, you know, personally, overall.
Agreed. Yeah. Balance is bullshit.
It is bullshit. Yeah. It is. And, you know, it's detrimental to say that we can even achieve it.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
we really can't. We can't.
Yeah. No,
that just is what it is. And I think we have to just work around that. And I think that that's what we need to help. And in so many ways, Facebook groups have been so life-changing for so many women because they're starting to see what happens to other people's households. And the more you talk to other women, the more you see, this is not normal for me, or that's not normal for you. You shouldn't be treated like that, or I shouldn't be treated like that, or, you know, just all sorts of different things. And I think that that is helping women find themselves more than maybe previous generations has.
Yeah. Yeah, now that you say that, I can list off 6 examples off the top of my head that, yeah, where I've seen that play out, where I think it's given us a broader audience to kind of bounce ideas off and get feedback and say, no, you don't have to put up with that. And you are allowed mm-hmm. to say what you want and fight yeah. for that. And yeah, I agree. In that sense, the internet has done very well.
It has. I'm a big fan of the internet. I was like an early internet adapter. I was in chat rooms back in AOL. It was, you know, back when I was 13, 14 years old. Like I'm a big internet geek. I love the internet. I met my husband on the internet. I met all my friends on the internet. Pretty much my whole life is online. So
yeah.
I'm a huge fan of the internet. And I'm also a sociological person. That was my study in school. So I love looking at it from the other perspective too. What has it brought to the table? It's brought back the village in a lot of ways, obviously, since like you guys are doing this whole, you know, series, but it's also been really eye-opening to see what's happening in other people's households and marriages and child rearing that you would never have seen. And I think a lot of husbands probably don't realize that this is what's happening in a lot of these Facebook groups. But it's good. I mean, think of all the good that has come from the Facebook groups, of the friendships and the support and all of those stories that would never have happened, you know, otherwise.
Yeah, that's a great point. I love that. Kind of to piggyback on that a little bit, Betty says that her schedule always adjusts around dad's work schedule and family obligations. And God, do I personally feel that in my soul. When do you take a day off or plan a day off that isn't a family vacation, event, et cetera?
Plan a day off for me?
Yeah, I think her, yeah.
That's funny. Never. I don't know. No.
Well, why don't, how do you find that you're defaulting around your husband's schedule? Is that kind of the primary workaround?
Yeah, because he's the primary breadwinner. So, you know, we default around that, and he's a musician. So a lot of it was defaulted around his music schedule. You know, it's hard. It's a hard balance when, you know, and I think because I'm with the kids more, I know what they need a little bit more and, you know, what their schedules are like, what their capabilities are, you know, things like that. In terms of finding time for me, I would say the biggest thing I do is get my hair colored. I don't. You know, what I try to do is I try to find moments, quiet moments. So like I've recently been watching like TV after the kids go to sleep instead of working. And that just feels really luxurious, like to just sit on my couch and watch TV. But I'm not like a big going out person. So like for me, that's just like really nice. I've been trying to read more because I really love to read. So when I go to I hadn't read a book for like 5 years. So when I go to the library, I'll try to pick up like just a silly beach novel, just so I feel like I'm have something in my hands when the kids are playing that's not my phone, that I can just do something. But it's really hard. You do defer to everybody else's schedules first. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially my husband has a very demanding schedule that changes constantly and can change at the drop of a hat. So I've kind of been in panic mode a little bit because he's been my childcare, well, not childcare, but he's been on duty.
Yeah, the person at home, right.
Right. And so it's kind of been, I've been a little nervous because literally at a moment's notice that could change. And I'm kind of like, well, I don't have a backup plan.
That's why I love paying for childcare.
Yeah.
Because even when it's grandparents or your aunt or your uncle or whatever, you know, you can't rely on those people all the time to run a business while they're watching your kids. So I'm a big, big fan of paying for childcare when you have to run a business or when you have to do something really important, because that's more reliable in that way because you're paying them.
Yeah, agreed. And you can kind of boss them around a little bit better. Like,
I mean,
today my husband came home with them and it's a madhouse out there. And I'm like, go to the park, do something.
Right. Yeah.
One last question here. What's the number one thing you would tell a business owner who wants to get more followers?
More followers on Instagram?
Mm-hmm.
Be yourself. Be authentic. Instagram stories. You know, Instagram, as we all know, is going kind of shifting away from the likes. And a lot of people are freaking out about this. And here's my whole kind of quick perspective on that, is that Instagram originally was a content to share, a platform to share content. And you can still share your content, you know, but make it more interesting, make it more educational, make it more tutorial based, make it so that people need you. And so go on Instagram stories, share about your business, journey, your tips in business. I always say it's good to give away some free information because people are going to want to keep coming back for more free information. So, you know, be really authentic, be really you. I love doing things like this where more people are going to get, you know, eyeballs on you, get to know your name. I love doing podcasts, blog shares, good old fashioned blog swaps back from 2000. You know, those were the way to share yourself, and that hasn't really changed. Mm-hmm. You know, doing takeovers at other people's accounts, anything you can swap accounts with other people will get more people to know who you are. And then they'll come over and, you know, follow you. But again, it's not about the followers or the likes. It's about getting a quality audience that is there for you at your party.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard not to want to quantify it. I get that. But also Brittany and I are strong believers in not putting all your eggs in the Instagram basket.
Yes. Newsletter, as I've learned from my friend Emily. And also, you know, having courses or PDFs or things that you can share with your audience that are not just Instagram or Facebook based. You know, and also remembering that most people buy followers, a lot of people buy followers. And that when think about Instagram like a party, if you're going to have a party, would you rather have six of your closest best friends there or 100 people you don't know? you know, and so some of the best influencers are people with very low followings who have very loyal and authentic followers, which is why micro influencers are kind of the hot thing right now. I hope that helps.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, the last question I've been ending with is, what can we as mothers do to help other mothers?
Listen without judgment. So some of my best friends who are on this right now have been amazing at listening to what I'm going through or my trials, my tribulations, without putting their ego into it and making it about them. You know, I definitely have friends who I love, but won't take my story into consideration as I'm telling my story. So, you know, they'll give their advice, but if it doesn't work for me, then, oh, well, too bad. You know, and so it's nice to have friends and mothers who can support you when you're having those days. Like, I texted Emily last night, my kids will not fall asleep. I was like, why am I not falling asleep? And she was like, me too. You know, just to have the support there from your friends, without judgment, without thinking you're a bad mom, without thinking there's anything wrong with having a glass of wine because you're exhausted or whatever, you know, whatever it is. I think that's really important to support each other through all of that.
I love that. It's definitely an acquired skill that we can all be working towards, for sure.
Yeah, it's that friendship.
Yes, love that. Well, thank you so much. This has been
great. Thank you. This is awesome.
Olivia, can you let people know where they can find you?
Yeah, I am on Instagram at Olivia M. Howell, and Howell Media House is howellmediahouse.com. But you can come follow me on Instagram. I'm often sharing way too much about my life over there. And I love following people back. I love getting to meet new people, new influencers. And I, again, thank you guys. This is such an amazing series, and I hope to see much more of this.
Well, thank you so much.
If you like what you just heard, and we hope you do, you can find more of us online at www.okayestmoms.com. We're also on all social media platforms, Pinterest, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at Okayest Moms Blog. Or if you want to, you can send us an email at hey@okayestmoms.com.